The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download that app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Thursday, Cubs fans.
What?
That's right. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, and Mark Carmen in for Cody Delmiso, Cody Del Skippo.
First of all, I really appreciate the invitation, but I just literally was doing the math in my head. Cody Delmiso is an Illinois fan.
Yes. Yep.
They're playing tonight.
Yes. That's correct.
He's missing the show to go to the Big Ten tournament.
Correct.
Right. To watch my university that I went to, even though I'm a Wildcat fan. He's going to watch the University of Iowa play right now, which I was planning on doing for the record, but you guys kindly offered me to sit here.
Begged.
So, of course, I said yes.
Yes, begged, sort of.
And Delmiso is missing his own show for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
And Mark Del Carmen.
Actually, he also missed it for the Michigan-Rutgers game this morning because I saw that he was there early.
Brutal.
62-50 Rutgers. Who misses this show for 62-50 Rutgers?
What are the odds that Cody will be sober by the time that Illinois game comes around? Not very good.
I wouldn't bet my DraftKings winnings on it. Say that much.
No. And hello to Barbara. Barbara, yes, we are live, as always, at 1:20, Monday through Thursday.
Well, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Listen, this sums us up right here pretty well. If you're watching live on YouTube, which we hope you are because that's our favorite way to enjoy the process with you, the show is live on YouTube at 1:20. Then you can be in the chat. We can read your comments. We can interact with you. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page for CHGO Sports. Like it while you're there. 5-star reviews, all the good things. But if you're watching, if you're on a podcast, go back and look at the YouTube page because you'll see that Ryan and I, we're understated. We're here in our camouflage CHGO gear. We're just blending in with the background. You can barely even see us on the screen. And then there's the personality on the other side, Mark Carmen, blazing red.
Blazing red. Is that like
all-star jacket?
Is that an NBA all-star?
Look at the socks. Look at the socks Adidas the guy's jacket? Got on. I haven't seen flash like this since the cap, man.
This sock was a Hanukkah gift this year. Okay. Shout out to Mo, my
are those golf clubs? What are those?
I don't know what's going on here. And it's like this, a submarine. This was stolen at the NBA All-Star game in 2014 by my former Yahoo Sports Radio teammate Juan Beltran, who's now out in California doing great work. So, yo, Carmando, I got you a sweet jersey if you want it. And I said, I'm in, man. And that's when we snuck into on Sundays.
Are you admitting a crime?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Live on YouTube? It's on YouTube. Nobody will see it.
He threw somebody under the bus while doing it.
Someone in the chat, figure out what the statute of limitations are.
Yeah,
I think
we're good. But
it's been almost 10 years.
They have breakfast with a legend.
Uh-huh.
And so, literally the entire, Bill Russell, RIP, they were all there. And we somehow snuck into, some stairwell. And I'm like, we had to open up this door to get in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if we open up that door and there's a cop there, we're going to jail.
In the guts of the United Center.
Yeah, I'm ready to go the other way here. It was in a hotel, whatnot. So I started walking the other way, and Beltran opened the door, and I just heard him yell, "Carmando, we're good." And the next thing you know, I'm having pancakes with every NBA Hall of Famer.
Aren't you also the guy who was telling the story about how they were going in the United Center, some guy slipped, hit his head, and they walked past
that was me.
That was you too, wasn't it?
That wasn't the United
Center. Poor man who smacked his head on the cement floor at the United Center, and Carm crawled over him and walked in the building.
maybe that could be a different story, but the person that I, the crawling over thing, that happened at the Chicago Theater
for
Michelle Obama. That was...
asked for a person who was critically injured.
They weren't going to use their seats, and I didn't have a ticket, so I was like,
Anybody? Flash okay. first, any, gentleman
yeah,
second.
Yeah,
fair enough. So Mark Harmon. Right. Yeah. Anyways, we appreciate you okay. being
learn,
here.
Learn something new about baseball. Mark Harmon every day.
All right. I'm going to hang out. Do your show now. I'll stop telling you.
Carm's here on a big day. We've saved our best for last. These are interviews that Ryan did out at Cubs camp, Sloan Park, while he was in Arizona. And we thought, well, which one would people want to see closest to opening day? We said, Pete Crow Armstrong. Yeah. So we have the Cubs' number one prospect, an interview with him coming up later in this podcast. PCA, who's been taking Sloan Park and the Cactus League by storm. Mm-hmm. Looking real good. That's coming up a little bit on the podcast. First, I want to talk a little World Baseball Classic. I'll be the first to admit I have not watched any World Baseball Classic because Team USA hasn't played yet. I don't need to see the Netherlands and Korea. Like, if they're playing Team USA, I'm cool with that. But I'm not going to watch just every game of the World Baseball Classic. Have you guys watched any of the WBC?
I watched a little bit of that Australia-Korea game yesterday.
Yeah?
There was that one... That one play at second base, I think it was, and one of the Korean players, like, step, is it one of those where they stepped off the base, and then, like, I tagged him out. And, and I don't remember, I think what happened right after that was someone, like, hit a single to the outfield. Like, it would have been a run scoring play. Mm-hmm. Instead, the guy wasn't on second base, he had been tagged out, and, like, that would have been a game tying hit, and they ended up losing to Australia. Like, I was. A decent. I don't know what the odds were, but I would assume like that was kind of an upset, considering who was on the two teams. So that was fine. The games are like weird hours right now. Like the Cuba,
they are.
Cuba played at 5 a.m. today. I think.
See, that, so I can't do that.
I didn't catch that one.
Brandon says I'm missing out. He's into it.
Ronis Elias, who's was in the Cubs camp, he's playing for Team Cuba right now. He actually pitched pretty well. I think it was 5 scoreless innings today.
Yeah, the Cubs have like 20 guys within their organization.
Yeah, it was 17.
Part, or 17. Yeah, 17. It's almost 20.
I mean, nearly. Yeah. Might as well be. But yeah, so as far as Cubs things go, I think Ben DeLuzio played for Team Italy today and was like 0 for 3, maybe 0 for 4.
Ah, I can have to cut
He's a guy, another guy that's in the Cubs camp. But I'm looking at him like these guys are yeah, they're competing for roster spots on the Cubs, but they're also, you know, going out there playing for their country and also playing against really good competition for the most part. So not that I take it with a grain of salt, but it's just like it's fun to watch these guys kind of go out and compete at actual competitive levels versus like spring training games, which, as we know, aren't as competitive as they could be.
And Luke, I do want to mention, you said Team USA hasn't played yet. They actually did play yesterday in an exhibition game.
Oh, exhibition, yeah.
Team USA lost to the San Francisco Giants 5-1. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't count the exhibition stuff yet, although
good luck though.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. They don't play their Team USA doesn't play their first game until Saturday, I believe, against Great Britain, and then Sunday they play Mexico. Yep. Mark DeRosa is the coach.
Yeah,
that's former Cub.
That
fan favorite.
Let's go. Bring him back. Maybe he'll be the manager of the Cubs, I don't know, 7 years out after Ross wins 3 World Series.
Before they hired David Ross, which seemed like fairly inevitable, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you knew that Joe was on his way out. Mark DeRosa was high on my list. Everybody says he's going to be a great manager if he wants to. And just having dealt with him as a player, I could see how young players would gravitate and listen to a manager like that.
One of the smoothest dudes going.
Very smooth.
All day long. And for the record, by the way, I've watched every inning of the World Baseball Classic. Okay, I've been completely dialed in.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Carm.
Yeah. I did hear courtesy of Adam Hogue that Luis Robert struck out 3 times in one game and then did hit a double but then ended up getting picked off a second base.
So mid-season form.
Yeah, so future MVP. Future MVP. Yeah. But that's DeRosa apparently is calling Coach K for advice.
Yeah, did you see that? He said he called yesterday when he was asked by I think it was Jesse Rogers. He said he called Coach K, another Chicago connection, right? Chicago player and a guy who grew up in Chicago, and said, what do I do? Because he led Team USA basketball for a long time. And Coach K basically told him his advice was get them to understand you're not playing for the U.S. You are the U.S. Oh, man, I want to go through a brick wall right now. I want to run through a brick wall.
You're not playing for the U.S.
No, you are the U.S.
U.S.
There you go.
You like are it. The U.S. on that field. So, A, I love that. I love that he actually called up Coach K. And B, I just like the idea of Mark DeRosa getting his feet wet in coaching and managing. I think it's a cool place to do it. I love the idea of Schwarber playing for Mark DeRosa. And by the way, yes, they can shift in the World Baseball Classic, so some guys probably not super excited about that. And also, the one negative to that, I would say, is for the guys that are over there, they're not getting to go back and get as much experience with the new rules because it's old rules for WBC.
Which is weird, like when Team Canada played the Cubs yesterday and they weren't doing the they didn't have the new rules in place. It's just World Baseball Classic. So even the exhibition games versus like major league teams was still old rules, I guess is what you'd say. Which is that's one thing I don't know if we've like actually considered that some of these guys playing in the WBC are going back to these old rules. So it's like when you're talking about pitchers, like
pitchers
getting used
for
to
sure.
getting used to the pitch clock and stuff all spring, and then they're taking 2 to 3 weeks to old rules, no pitch clock, and then to have to come back to that. Like that's they're major leaguers, or most of them at least. They should be able to be fine making that jump back and forth. But it is something that everyone is dealing with now this season, and it's a new thing. So that's I don't know. We haven't really talked or even considered how that can affect people.
Right.
So I'm actually kind of curious, like, say, Ronis Elias makes a Cubs team out of camp, but, like, did this 2-3 weeks that he may be playing with Team Cuba, did that affect, his acclimation to the pitch clock? So stuff like that. Vinny Natoli's playing with Italy. He could also possibly make the Cubs team, at some point this season. It's all that different stuff, and it may not mean anything. Again, most of these guys, they're all pros. They should be able to adjust. It's just something I'm going to keep my eye on.
Well, Theo had said that, like, in the minor league system, when they put it in, it did take a good 30, 40 games for guys to get used to it. So could I see hitters going over there? Now, you don't have a ton of guys over there for the Cubs, so I'm not as worried about it as far as the major league roster. Say is not over there. No. So, but as far as getting used to it, I could totally see batters that are used to their ritual, their routine, having a little trouble with it early in the season. Yeah, Carm.
I'm just assuming that you guys are completely on board with all the changes and we're excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pizza box bases are stupid, but I don't understand why you're making the bases look like pizza boxes from Aurelio's Pizza and why they're so big. Like, I don't see how that's going to cut down on injuries. Somebody math that out, and I don't understand why, but whatever.
You do want to see more. Do you want to see more running in the game?
I would like to see more running, and most importantly, the pitch clock. If these games are 30 minutes shorter, heyo, right up my alley.
Yeah, spring training games have been on average 2 hours and 37 minutes. Yeah, that sounds beautiful. Great.
Beautiful, and you know what?
Fine with me.
How long is the pitch clock? It's
15 with no runners on and 20 with guys on.
So I could take another 5 seconds off that.
All right.
I could take another 5 off
but,
that.
Yeah, I think but, for the most part, we're, yeah, so kind I'm, of, we're
I'm
on board.
The speed part of the game, I'm on board, and no shift, I'm on board for that too.
Okay. So, I mean, like everything that I'm hearing, I'm just super excited to actually see it in action. Let's go. Let's go, baseball. Thank you, Theo. We love you, Theo. You did everything you set out to do here, and now you're like fixing the entire game. Is there anything you wouldn't hire Theo to do?
Well, he's the guy that was partly responsible for the game slowing down a little bit too. But
sure. that's true.
So but at least he is fixing it. That is true.
He was trying to win.
I'm happy about it. If he was the guy that finally spoke to them, was like, listen, I know I'm the one that slowed the game down, but let's move things along.
Can you imagine just being able to walk around in your life and like look and find inefficiencies to benefit you? That's what this guy does. Now he's like, how do I bring my great game of baseball back to where everybody loves it? That's his job.
That's right.
Yeah, and
he could have done that with the drafting the Cubs did for a little while. Yeah. It would have helped even more.
I think people still have issues with the rules, but I never was against the rules when they first came in, but like seeing them in action, seeing the pitch clock working, and they're gonna have to iron some things out, like that just for one, players getting adjusted to the pitch clock is still happening. Like, it's not gonna happen overnight. You're probably gonna have a couple errors during during, you know, the actual season, but you hope you get most of those out of the way in spring. I mean, the base is, if they lead to more base running, that'd be awesome. I don't know for sure that will. I don't know that they discovered that in the minors, if it did or didn't. I don't remember the exact reasoning behind it, but, like, if it does, obviously, increased base running, I'm all for it. And the shift restrictions, I mean, I thought the exaggerated shifts were brutal to look at in the first place. Yeah. I know up the middle, you know, ground balls up the middle, whatever, may still be snagged and may not be hit still until they restrict the shifts even more. But these extreme shifts all the way, you know, robbing any first, you know, any left-handed hitter of a single through the right side, like, that was doing away with that, I think, will make the game a little bit more exciting just because there's more action. Yeah, more ability for guys to get on base.
All of it is meant to increase the amount of action and the pace of play. And so I'm all for all of those things, and there's probably more ways they can do it. Garrett points out, yeah, at some point you want to address teams tanking like the Cubs just did. Yeah. But now that the Cubs seem to be almost through that phase, I would be willing to put those rules in now.
Well, I mean, it's like I think the draft lottery that went into effect this past draft, or this past, yeah, whenever they did it during winter meetings,
could
I
help.
Think that can help, and that was a start to it, but it's not going to end tanking like overnight. There's going to be, I mean, maybe Theo, this is the next project Theo takes on, is how do we end tanking, even though the Cubs kind of started it back in a decade ago.
The tanking thing doesn't keep me up at night. Because the lottery makes sense.
It also does happen in every sport.
Like, right.
Every sport has it. No sport has been able to eliminate it.
I mean, tanking is in essence for the non-diehard fan. Don't care if you win or lose. I'm going to the ballpark. I'm going to drink a couple beers. I'm going to eat a hot dog. I'm going to do whatever I do. I'm going to flirt. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to go home. I don't really care if who wins. Oh, great. They won 53 games. They won 68 games. They won 93 games. I'm still happy that I was at a ball game for the three times a year I go. Look, I feel like I'm just up. All your baseball sensibilities are being.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Barb, by the way, says baseball wants to attract younger fan base, averages about 53. I don't know if that's factual, but I would agree that when I go to the ballpark, I still don't feel old. And, you know, I do when I come in here, but I don't when I go to a ballpark. So that's something they're going to have to watch. When we were saying before we came on the podcast, when you can watch 5 TikTok videos in the time that a guy takes looks at 2 pitches in a game, that's a problem. When kids coming up are being trained to watch videos on, like, 15-second
short clips,
of everything, and they're sitting there and one pitch has gone by, that's an issue. You're going to run into that being an issue sooner or later.
And I do think this helps with that, with just the fact that you may not have consistent action like you want, but you're always going to have, like, what I'm trying to say is you might not have a ball be put in play every pitch or whatever, but you're 15, 20 seconds and you got a pitch being thrown. Like, you have a constant pace of play that will eventually lead to just more action overall. Obviously, shorter games come with that, but just, like, you're not waiting. I mean, the videos have gone viral throughout spring of, like, some pitchers having taken, like, over a minute to even throw one pitch. Like, they're stepping off, they're, you know, waiting, you know, shaking catchers off and stuff, versus what they're doing now is they have to have the pitch thrown, you know, at max 20 seconds if there's a guy on base. So they have to have the pitch thrown. The pace is going to overall increase, and you've seen it already. And as far as, you know, appealing to a younger generation, a generation that doesn't want to sit and watch long games and long times and just dead time in between pitches, that's just going to help it. That's when you ask if we're for, like, that's the main reason I'm for a lot of these rules. If they just quicken the pace of each game and every game, I'm all for it.
One other thing that will help that, I think, this season, live betting is going to – once you can have people – once 100%. People are sitting in their seats and they've got time to bet on a specific player that's coming up the next inning, but it takes them a little – that's going to fill a little bit of the gap for people, too, between
– sure.
There's no way to make baseball as fast-paced as hockey, okay? There's no way for it to go as fast-paced probably as football or any of those sports. But you can close the gap a little bit. And I know gambling will be for those sports too, but I think it will help keep people's attention on the sport a little bit longer.
It has a it's going to have a huge impact. You're going to be sitting there betting balls and strikes and whatever else you want to bet. I mean, people, that's what's going to happen. It's going to make it a whole other thing, more so than just like the cup game that we've been playing since, I don't know, however long the cup game has been instituted, since I was probably 15 when I first was doing that with my friends at games. But one thing I would do that they haven't done, can we get, I'd like to expand the strike zone, please. Let's get that a little wider.
Yeah, more. Less action, less hitting is what you'd like. More strikeouts.
Well, no, you have to
that's exactly what happened. Every strike it out.
You have to swing. You can't sit there and try to, you know.
Yeah. Javi tried to expand that strike zone many times.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think an expanded strike zone would have helped him because he couldn't lay off that low and away slider.
Get rid of the tea kettle. Let's open it up. Letters to the knees. Bang. Come on. And maybe instead of working a 3-2 swing and a miss, then maybe it'll be good morning, good afternoon, good night, move along.
You know, the
possibly.
The pitch clock thing should be, I'm good with what they're doing right now, but the reason I say you could take another 5 seconds off it, for me, they already are going to have pitch calm that's going to go back and forth. That's increased the time on that. When you go to the batting cage, do you have time to readjust your gloves and your hat and grab your crotch and adjust, go like this, switch, put one foot in, shuffle that left foot, shuffle the right. If you do, you're going to get beamed in the face. That's what's going to happen.
Ball's coming, baby. Let's go.
Pick it up.
That's,
you learn that at a young age. All right.
Tony, pitch clock is where it's at.
Pete Crow Armstrong coming up. Don't go anywhere. The CHGO Cubs podcast. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite team, so get fitted out with the best sports gear around. Foco has you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north side, south side. Hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, Foco. If you're looking for that perfect gift for the football fan in your life, Foco's got you covered with extra warm hoodies to fight a Lake Michigan breeze. Also good for opening day coming up at Wrigley Field. Check out Foco.com. Click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Trust me, it works.
I don't know which one of you two mentioned earlier, like, literally betting on
balls and strikes.
Like
he
in
did.
Between pitches.
It would be funny if Cody were just sitting there, ball, lost again. Ball,
Well, if Cody's doing it, you know Cody's going to be doing it with DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is the official betting partner of CHGO and Allcity. You know, the Big Ten tournament's starting. It already started,
it's underway. Yeah.
I mean, I'm more of an SEC guy, but the SEC tournament's up. You know, you're going to have that tournament all weekend. Next week starts March Madness. Like, it's time to bet. Mm-hmm. It's time to bet on college basketball. Like, if you haven't bet on college basketball all year, it's about to be time. And the best way to do that is with the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. That's the DraftKings Sportsbook app. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly.
Boom.
Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. And I also didn't mention NBA. We're coming up on NBA playoffs. I think we're like, what, about a month out?
That's right.
Ish? Yeah. I mean,
middle of April.
I wonder
if we need to worry about that.
Well, I wonder if anyone actually bet the Bulls.
One game out of the play-in, baby. We're chasing down the Wizard.
Did anyone bet the Bulls yesterday against the Nuggets?
Should have.
Like, should have.
No. I heard Peck say he actually live game picked the Nuggets.
So did Hogue on my advice, which was a terrible job by me.
Sounds like a terrible job. But, yeah, again, college basketball, NBA, MLB starting soon. You got a lot of things to bet on. Do it with DraftKings Sportsbook.
Well, I did it for the Super Bowl, right? I waited to sign up with DraftKings, and I got my $5 bet out there. I got the $200 in bonus bets. And what did I turn that into? About $650.
I remember that.
Luke. Ooh, Luke.
That was a big day for Luke.
That was a big day. That buys a lot of diapers, let me tell you. All right. So Pete Crow Armstrong. You know, it was Brendan Davis. Everybody was Brendan Davis. Then the injuries came along, and all of a sudden, the Cubs make this trade with the Mets, and they get back this guy, Pete Crow Armstrong, who had also had just a little bit of injury trouble, and so that's maybe the reason the Mets let him slip away. From what everybody says now, it appears that the Mets are so gun-shy about having lost PCA, they don't ever want to make a trade again. Like, they can't believe they gave him up. You look at the prospect rankings, he keeps climbing up, and I don't think this current Cactus League season is going to do anything to change that. In fact, it's going to do the opposite. He's going to keep on climbing because what I've seen has been impressive, both offensively and defensively, and also, frankly, the interviews. I don't know how much that impacts things, but you can tell he's mature. You can tell he's a thinker. He's not a guy that's just going out there and, you know, has been better than everybody else his whole life. And he shows up and thinks, this is it. I'll get to the majors. It'll be over. You can tell he's working hard. You can tell he's a thinker. So I like both those things. This is Ryan talking with the Cubs' top prospect out in Arizona. We'll talk about it afterwards. Here's Pete Crow Armstrong with the Ryan Herrera.
All right, this is Ryan Herrera of CHGO Cubs reporting from Mesa, Arizona, Cubs spring training. And we have Cubs' number one prospect, Pete Crow Armstrong. Pete, how's it going today?
Good, Ryan. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's spring been going for you?
Good. Been here for a month and a half now. I was kind of easing back into things for the most part of January, and felt like I've been able to be more full speed as of late, and you know, been feeling really good.
And this is your first time with Cubs in Major League camp. Mm-hmm. Being around all the Major League guys, what has that done for you as far as just helping you in your development? It's early, obviously, in the year, but just being around Cody Bellinger and guys like that and seeing how they go about things.
Absolutely. I mean, that's my goal being in this camp is kind of just to watch and listen. I think there's a lot of benefit in just watching how players of this caliber go about their business. So it's already been great. You know, there's been a bunch of guys that have been here just about the entire time I have. You know, Cody was literally here right after he signed. Nico's been here a lot. Nick's been here a lot. So getting to see how they work and do their thing has been very cool so far.
And I want to specifically point out what you said about Nico Horner about a week ago and just talking about how he kind of represents what Cubby baseball is. Why do you think that? What do you, when you look at Nico Horner, what do you see, and why does he kind of just represent Cubs baseball to you?
He's obviously a wonderful player, but I think what he provides from a knowledge standpoint, and then how he plays the game, the energy he brings, you know, he's got a great baseball IQ, and I think that guys, you know, like himself, guys like myself, even. Who aren't, you know, off the charts with our power or whatever mm-hmm. people want to say. I think it's super cool to see guys like him still being a, you know, well above average baseball player with what we got. And he works so hard and, again, super smart. So I love how he works. I love watching him do his thing.
And I want to go back to the 2020 season or the 2021 season. No, obviously you were traded at the trade deadline from the Mets to the Cubs, but you were hurt at the time. What was the injury? Surgery on your shoulder. What sort of happened, and what was the recovery like for you? As you know, obviously starting your professional career.
I mean, I got hurt pretty early on into that season. I didn't even get a weekend, but. Tore my labrum in my right shoulder, diving in third. It was, I don't even really know how many months the recovery process was. But, you know, it was okay. I got to spend some time at home in the beginning of it, which was a good little segue, leeway into, I guess, into the rest of it. And I get traded, and coming here, it was a very easy transition. They made it easy on me, so... Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that, and I think that, you know, that set me on a good path being here in general. So, you know, shoulder feels good now. That's in the past. It's on the back burner. So, it's all about health and blessings from here on out.
And getting traded to the Cubs, you know, a new organization. What was that like? Just kind of adjusting to what the Cubs do, if they did anything differently than what the Mets were doing. Just the adjustment of moving to a new organization.
Like I said, the transition was easy. Yeah, painless. No pun intended, you know. It was better than I could have asked for. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot for me up to this point, and I'm blessed to be here. You know, I think it's a privilege to play this game for everybody. But you know, I'm speaking for myself, coming off an injury, getting brought into an organization like this, like I said, so seamlessly. Like, that's a big blessing.
And this past season, obviously you rose, and in a lot of prospect rankings, you're the number one in the Cub system. I know you've said in the past you don't really look at those, but just what was the year like for you as far as, again, your development and moving steps closer to the major leagues and just, you know, becoming the player you think you can be?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of room for improvement. You know, I think I never lost the confidence in myself or the idea of how good I am at baseball or anything like that. You know, I think last year, if it did anything for me, it was just, all right, you got room to grow in a lot of areas. So I think it's exciting because I see these areas so clearly, and I think if I put it all together, it's going to be something very cool.
And now this year, Cubs spring training starting today. What are your goals for the rest of the spring training? What are you trying to get out of it in spring? And then obviously, what are your goals for the 2023 season?
I don't know. I don't really think about my goals just yet. You know, it's important to go into the season and having those goals. But, you know, if I come out of here with gained knowledge, that's a win for me. And I'm going to apply that to what I do in the season. So that's kind of all I'm focused on right now is absorbing everything that I possibly can and applying it in some way. So, you know, I know the areas that I want to get better in, and I think that's just my focus, is focusing on what I have to improve on.
So you're not worrying about when that call to
never
the big leagues is coming?
No, I want to see the team that I'm on at the time winning. I want to see the big league team winning, because that means that I'm going to be getting into something good. And, you know, I have full confidence that I'll be up there whenever I'm supposed to be, and I have full confidence in the organization. So I'm in no rush, man. I love the guys I played with last year. I think that we all benefit from each other. So I'm excited to see how the season starts, and, you know, wherever I end up, I end up.
One more thing. What should Cubs fans expect from Pete Crow Armstrong?
Cubs fans...
Whenever that happens.
Yeah, they're going to get the same Pete that plays baseball now. You know, I'm excited to play for the Wrigley people. I've watched them longer than they're going to be watching me, you know. So it's an honor to play for them, and you know, I'll leave that up for interpretation. They're going to get a lockdown center fielder. They're going to get a guy who makes things happen, and that guy is going to be playing on a field with a lot of guys who do the same sort of thing. So they're going to be seeing very good Cubby baseball in the next however long.
Thanks, Pete, for joining us.
Thank you.
For CSGO Cubs, this is Ryan Herrera signing out.
Thanks, man.
Oh, and the vibes in that video.
Vibes.
I mean, again, if you're just listening to the podcast and not watching the YouTube feed, go back and check out Ryan's Hawaiian shirt and the biceps bursting out of that. And then Pete Crow Armstrong taking the hood down to show everybody, like, this is what my face looks like. And I'm here. At the end, I love the fact that he's talking about the other teammates and that he's in no rush to get here. Like he knows the development is more important than making a splash and making the team right out of the gate.
I'm in a rush. Let's go. Let's get him here. Be a lot more fun when he's here, for sure. Right?
I'm trying to think of the last time who'd been the last player through that you were this excited about. Schwarbs? When Schwarber came up? It would have been Brennan Davis, but because Brennan got kind of slowed down,
I mean,
there was a lot of talk about this time last year. Brennan Davis was that guy.
He's more on a Chris Bryant level for me.
I feel like PCA sort of passed that excitement over a little bit.
As far as excitement goes for like a debut, it's probably since Schwarber, I'd say.
Because even
Wilson, I don't know that he had the fanfare that Pete Crow Armstrong does now.
Right.
Brennan Davis, like we talked about, was at that level last year, but just the whole way this last year has gone for him. I mean, even look at the prospect sites, like they're not as high on him as they were a year ago at this time. PCA's skyrocketed up the boards, and I mean, just the things he's doing in spring training are crazy impressive. That catch he had the other day, you know, the way he's 20 years old and he's talking like he's a veteran on some of these interviews. I understand if you use the example of Kyle Schwarber to compare him to Pete Crow Armstrong and see where that level of excitement is in the
totally
fan base.
Different. totally different players.
Well, different but players, we're talking but as far, excitement yes, level, yeah. As far as excitement, I think that's Pete Carl Armstrong matches that for sure.
I was going to say it might even be more than Schwarber. You knew the draft Schwarber, and you knew he was a high draft pick, and you knew he was a slugger, but you never heard, like, this guy's making the greatest catches in the entire minor league system. Like, around all of minor league baseball, this guy might be the best defensive player. That's the type of stuff you hear about him.
I mean, maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't remember, like, being, like, I can't wait to see Kyle Schwarber up here. I do remember it for KB, and I'm getting and I'm getting that for I'm like, let's go. So for me, it's KB. Yeah. I maybe because the Cubs were already getting established. I'm not trying to take anything away from Schwarber, who had arguably the greatest moment or one of the greatest moments in Cub history outside of the KB to Rizzo moment. I mean, Budweiser. Home run against the Cardinals and or leading off the 10th inning. Let's go.
Right.
But KB.
People were excited for Javi when Javi came up, but KB is the last, Doug's saying it there, the last can't-miss guy, and we've heard Pat Hughes and some people say it. So he had this great catch, PCA, the other day, and a couple things about it. One, Kyle Hendricks was asked on the radio by Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, did he need to jump? Did he need to dive? And he laughed. He said, well, you can't be on the highlight show if you don't dive. And he joked. He said, no, it was a great catch. So this is, we also have Marquis from Marquis's Twitter. This is Pete Crow Armstrong talking to Elise Menneker about the catch with a surprise appearance from Willie Harris at the end.
Ball was hit low. He smoked it. It was a changeup, I think, stout through. So, outer half, I like to read swings, so I kind of try and get a little bit of a head start based on what that swing looks like. You know, whether that's gaining ground or just kind of anticipating where the ball is going to be. So, I definitely had a feeling where it was going to be hit. But like I told you yesterday, like a ball from a right-hander, I think – in that gap is easier than most to feel just because you know the trajectory, right? You know how that ball spins. So I was just running with it. I was letting it tell me where I needed to end up, and I had to check the wall a couple times. But yeah, I felt like I had that the whole way.
Hey, Willie Harris, what did you think as you were watching it?
I thought the play was sick. I'm looking forward to seeing PCA do some great things for the Cubbies. I'm excited for the kid. Love you, brother.
Love you. Thank you. That's the man right there.
All right. So that was Elise Menneker, Willie Harris, PCA, talking about the process of making the catch. They also posted on Marquee. This was Scott Chagnon, a former teammate of mine who works for Marquee. A great photo of PCA and Owen Casey getting to play against each other yesterday. Casey playing for Team Canada. That's the future right there.
As part of it, at least.
Look, well, that's a huge – that's your potential. You hope that's your Bryant Rizzo. You hope that's your Brizzo right there, maybe.
That was very confusing yesterday.
You could put some other guys in there, but
– yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. And I think just a shout-out to Cub fans, baseball fans everywhere who were confused by the tweet yesterday, like this Cub, and like, why is he playing for the Reds? I was duped. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I didn't understand the tweet, and then I figured it out finally. So, anyway.
No, but it also shows you, when you think about Owen Casey possibly being part of the future, and also, you know, Pete Carl Armstrong is an obvious part of that future, but, like, that tells you how deep they are, at least as far as outfielders go, because you're – then where's the room for Canary? You still have Suzuki for four more seasons.
Alcantara, I mean, when he
Alcantara
comes up,
yeah, like
he's their next best prospect.
Brennan Davis is right there. Yeah. Is Ian Happ going to get extended? Like, you have all these different things, and all these different players that could figure into this outfield mix over the next couple years. That, I mean, you feel obviously it's a great problem to have for the Cubs, but it's funny. I just think it's funny when you talk about Owen Casey being part of the future, and when you're just kind of at the point like, we don't know that for sure because we don't know what this outfield is going to look like in the future just because there are so many, it seems right now, so many good options for that outfield of the future that things may have to happen to get that group to fit just right, you know?
It has been said that Mervis, you know, everybody talks about Mervis, that Casey might be the best power hitter in the system. And Canario, obviously, before that crazy injury, showed tons of power. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that would be a great name. Case Crow, I think you could just do the PCAC. PCAC.
PCAC?
That's a, that shirt sells. Come on.
Sells right now.
Right
what
here.
Am I thinking? Why am I giving this away?
Well, right, we'll do it. Let's go.
This should be the next dope merch that we get out there.
I say, better hope Joe Obvious isn't.
Obvious Joe.
Obvious Joe isn't listening right now. No, but yeah, that just goes back to my point that like there are so many prospects to be excited about in the system. They may not have a can't miss prospect like KB. Like PCA may be the closest thing, but it seems like they have a lot of prospects in the system who have potential to be solid contributors at the big league level. May never be all stars, but they could come up and contribute really well to a competitive Cubs team. And as far as farm rankings go, like that's like the main thing of that you want in a farm system is just the depth that you have, the guys who are going to come up every year. And if you're not able to, you know, bring in all the best free agents, well, you got guys that can come up and, you know, they may not compete at that level, but they're going to be good solid players that are going to contribute to a winning team. And that was a problem with the Cubs this last time around, is they weren't backfilling all those spots, right? That's why they had to go back into this rebuild, because they couldn't do the development to backfill all those spots and, you know, make up for whatever they couldn't do. Now that it seems like they're doing that. It seems that they've built the farm system that will be able to backfill those spots, where they don't have to go out and spend all this money. Now, do they have the ability to spend all that money? Sure, they're the freaking Chicago Cubs. But at least they, you know, if they continue to not want to go out and spend all that money in free agency, well, they have some guys coming up who could fill some of those spots.
Greg's really stirring the pot. He says, can't wait to flip them in July for Otani.
That hurts. Let's go.
By the way, your burner?
If you said, if you're saying that PCA is can't miss, which I don't know if you can ever say that about any prospect in baseball, although you do hear about Barry Bonds when he came up, it was pretty much like, this guy's going to be unbelievable. Remember that Brendan Davis was that guy a year ago. Brendan Davis was also can't miss a year ago. Now, he still might be can't miss. We hope he still can't miss, but things change very quickly, and knock on wood, none of that changes for PCA, and that his rise is meteoric, and he's here by the end of the season.
Trying to build some when is the next World Series momentum sitting in the seat today, right? And and everything you said makes great sense, Ryan, but and overstating the obvious, somebody's got to turn into. We need some stars here to do it.
Yes,
we're going to need some stars.
Wait, and
they ain't going to pay for them either. They have to develop into it.
That's obviously. It feels like that's the route they're trying to go. But if they have guys that, if they just have good depth of guys that like have a solid baseline for the team, then theoretically, if they change their mind and do go out and spend the money for those stars, they don't have to spend the money to fill every single spot. Is what I'm trying to say. Like they'll should be able to go out and sign stars, but have these good prospects come up and, you know, are cheap options to fill the rest of the roster. That's what I'm trying to get at, is what they should be focused on doing.
Feels like a Minnesota Twins budding organization right here.
Don't ever. I mean, you don't want to ever have the Cubs compared to the Twins. You just don't.
Right.
And they've also been compared to Tampa. Like, I'm fine with the developing players part of that, but the rest of it should not.
Yeah, they have the money
should not
to
exist.
Not be that.
Well,
you want them to be compared to the Dodgers. That's who you want them.
We got Dansby. Let's go, Dansby. 200 and what was it? 75 million.
177 million.
177 million. Right, I was right there. Well, 100 million off.
Yeah, I mean
25 a year for 7 years.
Million, you're right on target with that card.
25 a year for seven. I got it.
Hey, one more thing from my long drive home yesterday from the Waddle and Sylvie show. Was they had Kyle Hendricks on, which I was like, oh, great, Kyle Hendricks interview. And he was saying that he believes he'll be on track and ready. He's about a month behind, okay? Everything feels good. He was saying, you know, he never thought about it ending his career, but he did think about, will I ever feel good again? And then he was asked by Sylvie, so which of these prospects is actually impressed, who's really impressed you at camp, because you get a lot of time to watch stuff, and he's like, I'll be honest, PCA unbelievable, and the other guy, who do you think the pitcher was?
Pitcher, I don't know. Tell me.
Ben Brown.
Okay.
Ben Brown was the arm he mentioned. And when he was asked veteran-wise, he said he loves what he sees from Tyone and that they bonded. And we've kind of heard that before. But I thought it was interesting that Ben Brown, you hear a lot of about young pitchers, and Ben Brown is one of them. But I don't know if you always hear people say Ben Brown. To hear it coming from Kyle Hendricks,
it's
got a little more weight to it.
Well, it's also one of those things where he got added to the 40-man, right? Like, he was Rule 5 eligible. He was actually – I talked to him in Mesa when I was down there, and he said that even last season – he was Rule 5 eligible and didn't get selected. So going into this year, again, he was, you know, in the Cubs traded for him at the trade deadline. So they made the conscious decision to add him to the 40-man, obviously because they felt
somebody would have added him.
If they didn't take him, someone would have grabbed him. That's the kind of belief they have in him, that he could be a contributor at the major league level, and they didn't want another team to take him. So not that it surprises me at all. It's just like, that doesn't surprise me that Kyle Hendricks would say that, because the Cubs have that kind of belief in Ben Brown, and to have him showing it in big league camp with the Cubs for the first time, it does make sense. And I can see that happening, as he's a guy that comes in and these veteran pitchers are like, wow, like, the Cubs have something in this guy.
Right. It's like when you turn on those fresh LED lights for the first time, you're like, wow, what is this beautiful lighting on our set? For instance, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights. Learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and networked lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. Visit ComEd.com/PoweringBiz right now to start saving money and energy and to start a project. Contact us at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, you can also email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. We all know that it's baseball season. Carmer, are you a fantasy baseball guy?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever thought about it?
Not
you
chance.
Might after this, because that's what I
listen
said.
Up.
I haven't done it in like 20 plus years, because it's so labor intensive. But we talked to our buddy Eric from RotoWire the other day, and he said, listen, there's different ways to do it. You can actually sign up for leagues that are only set your lineup once a week. Okay, yep. That changed everything, first of all. And then if I know what I'm doing, because it's all about winning, let's be honest. It's about bragging rights. Sometimes it's about cash. We don't want to mention that necessarily. Baseball season, get your latest fantasy baseball news from RotoWire, a pioneer of fantasy sports for over 25 years. Cheat sheets, customer player rankings to fit all leagues, whether it's rotisserie, points, 10 category, 30 category. Let their experts analyze all the wild baseball stats for you. WRC+, barrel rate, sleepers, prospects, hard hit rate, things that keep Mark Carmen up at night. Mock drafts galore, ask the expert function, premium fantasy draft kits, custom start, sit, add, drop, trade advice, lineup optimizers. You have access to fantasy, DFS, and sports betting articles. Not just baseball, too. Fantasy advice on everything from golf, soccer, NASCAR, XFL. I haven't looked into it, but maybe tennis too, Mark. For a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free 2-day trial to listeners. Just go to rotowire.com/CHGO to register. No commitments. They're so confident in their product that you're going to like it and want to invest in a subscription plan. They don't even ask for a credit card up front. So what you can do is take a peek behind their paywall, and when the trial is done, then you decide if RotoWire has a package that is right for you.
I'm doing it right now because I like to support everybody who supports us.
That's right.
And I'm going to next level this thing. So let's go.
RotoWire.com/CHGO.
I'm here, baby. Let's go.
Log in at the Carm, and password probably Go Cats.
That's an option. That's definitely one of my passwords that I forgot.
Congratulations on your Big Ten Coach of the Year, by the way, and the big fight that you're having with Braggs over whether or not that should
be. Greg Braggs is just an intolerable human being that I choose to be nice to. So go me for being. He's texting me right now.
Texting you right now. How about
that? It's very, he's just an upset human being. doing my best to make this world a better place, Luke. But this is, all right. I am logging in.
Rotowire.
Let's go.
Cody Del Scippo, Cody Del Miso is at the Big Ten tourney with Mr. Braggs right now. Doug Van Dorn says he thinks Hoag traded Carm to Stuckey for a bottle of Malort and a player to be named later.
Is that player to be named
later? I can't decide if that's a compliment or not, Mark.
I mean, I think Hoag has considered a deal, but I didn't know that anybody was accepting. So I appreciate you guys, but this does feel like just a call.
He was accepting calls.
27th man type of situation here, doubleheader.
Yeah. I don't want to say he called me, but I will say that he is accepting calls.
Yeah, okay. No, I get it.
So he said no one is untradeable.
That's true.
That's what
Nobody
he said.
Is untradeable.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Good chat today. We got a pretty good group on a Thursday afternoon with a lot of basketball going on, March Madness underway.
I can't wait to see the chat when games actually start. Like, we know that the chat is always
great. Yeah, and especially
great.
If the Cubs could get off to a good start. Like, we've said before, we want you to sign up to be a diehard. We know that the Cubs have more diehards than any other team in Chicago. There's a lot of great Bears fans, but when you wait 108 years for a championship, your fans better be diehards. That was a long time to wait. We don't want to wait another 108. So hopefully, you're a diehard here at CHGO Sports, which gives you the discounts to our events, to our takeovers. You get discounts on the dope merch we have. You get the great card, which Carm likes to throw around town like it's, bigger than a gold card sometimes. Sometimes he'll throw down his gold card with the diehard card, just hoping that they'll waive the entire tab. Doesn't always work, but it does sometimes. I'll just say sometimes it
has happened.
It could work.
Greg says the chat will be more interesting if they stink. Yeah, but we had that all last year.
No, I mean, the
we
thing
did
is
have
like
that all last year.
Last summer when they were getting blown out by like 10 runs and they were on that losing streak.
Yeah.
Like, I think we saw a solid baseline for the people that are going to be in the chat. So I think if they're good, the chat would be even popping even more. Is my guess.
We want victories now. Although
fly the W.
I have been myself just still laying back in the weeds here. Build it the right way. Don't spend all the money. I wouldn't like the Dansby thing. I wasn't like, yeah, if you'll get Dansby now that you didn't, but they did. So, okay. Seems like it's a huge risk on my mind, but maybe it'll work out.
Let me ask you this.
Speaking of free agent.
Yeah,
free agent additions.
We got like 6 minutes left in the podcast. You have a Kansas City connection.
I do.
Of the Cubs position player free agents, if you want to throw the pitchers in there too, realistically, who do we all gut check right now? Which one is going to really have a great impact on this Cubs team this year? Just one of them. Just pick one guy where you say, that free agent is going to have a huge impact. And take Dansby out of the scenario because they paid way more for Dansby than anybody else. If he doesn't, then we're all going to hear about it. But what about the other guys?
So non-Dansby is what we're saying.
So hold on.
What about your guy Hosmer?
Remind me of the candidates. We got Hosmer. We got Cody. Who else do we got?
Cody Mancini. Bellinger. Trey Mancini.
Okay.
Tyone.
Tucker Barnhart. Jameson Tyone. I mean, you could go to the bullpen and do Boxberger and some of those other guys.
Homer.
All right, so here.
Homer. Edwin Rios.
All right.
Potentially a third.
It's a lot of free agent additions if you didn't.
So.
300.
I will lean into where you were directing me because.
I wasn't directing. I'm just curious what you think of Hosmer.
You just brought it up. Okay. So Eric Hosmer, I worked in Kansas City from 2009 to 2011. The Royals were terrible, but they were on their come. Mm-hmm. Here comes Hosmer. Here comes Moustakas. I'm calling up my friends in Chicago and telling them, I'm just telling you, the Royals are coming. I don't know when they're going to be good, but at some point, that team's going to be good. And, of course, they end up going to back-to-back World Series and winning it. And doing it in Kansas City is unbelievable. But so Hosmer is a great dude. I don't know how much you got to talk to him this year. But
a few times.
Yeah, Hosmer, the barbecue place down there is Jack Stack. Friday night, it's an hour wait. Hosmer walks in early in his career. Or actually, I came in after. I see Hosmer sitting in there. And he's waiting. And I'm like, dude, I'm sure they would give you a table.
You're a royal.
He's actually a gentleman and he's waiting. Concert.
Crawling
over injured people.
Don't you think that's impressive, though, for real?
Yes.
Like, most people are going to yell, hey, man, can I play for the Royals, whatever, I work for CHGO, something.
I got my diehard card.
He didn't do it.
Diehard card.
I think he's a phenomenal competitor as well. So I liked that signing. You got him for nothing. And I don't
You're getting paid to have him on the team.
So
do you think he could bounce back?
I do. I'm not saying in a huge way, but it's
yeah.
As far as like
the investment's very small.
It's a nothing investment. He's gonna love playing here. I think Cub fans are going to, you know, if he does anything, they'll start to fall in love with that guy. So I liked the signing. I think that was a quality low risk ad.
And the worst case scenario for him is you get phenomenal defense too.
That too.
He's got a glove.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I hear that argument go back and forth. Plesac loves his defense, and then there are metrics people out there on Twitter that would be like, he's the worst defender in baseball. Like,
that's not true. I don't care what metric
people say. What do your eyes tell you?
I think he's got a fine glove. I don't think he's gold glove like he was, you know, few years back now. But
that's understandable.
He should give you fine defense. I think there's that one play. No, there's one play that everyone keeps posting that, like, he – misplay or misjudge the bounce on a ball that looks bad for him, but it's like one play.
I think he picks anything that's thrown to him, though.
We'll see.
That's what Plesac says.
He's great.
I mean, like,
I watched him for a long time on the Royals playing against the White Sox. The guy picks anything in the dirt.
Admittedly, I've been watching his most recent work with the Padres or whatever, but like,
you don't forget how to pick a ball at first.
Exactly. You're not asking him to play center field here. Come on.
Ryan, who do you think in your gut is the guy that will impact the most? Outside of Dansby.
Yeah, outside of Dansby, I think I would say Tyone.
Yeah.
On the pitching side, I think he's going to – I think we've talked about this. I don't think anyone on this team reaches, like, major league ace level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be surprised if anyone pitches at, like, a Cy Young caliber level this year. But I think the Cubs have – a bunch of good pitchers in the rotation. I think Tyone has the ability and the potential to break out as, like, the best. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we sat here at the end of the season and he had the best season of all the guys in that rotation this year. I think he's a really, really good pitcher. You know, he's getting further and further away from Tommy John. He's, you know, and his battle with cancer as well.
Yep.
Obviously, but now he's adding that sweeper slider, which if that works for him, like, that's gonna add a whole new thing to his ability to strike guys out. He eats innings. He wants to be an innings eater, which, you know, in this day and age, you don't find a lot of guys like that anymore. I think Jameson Taillon has really good potential to be, if you're talking about all the additions that the Cubs made this offseason, be the one that stands out the most. He has to prove it. Obviously, but they gave him $68 million over 4 years for a reason. Like, they invested a lot of money in him, and I think he's gonna have. I think he'll have a really good season this year. I do.
And don't worry about Tyone's spring training outings, because guys can be working. He might be working on a sweeper slider one day, specifically, and it might not be working for him. But that's what Cactus League is about. So I don't worry about specific outings in Cactus League action. I would say this. I don't know which guy it's going to be. I do think one of them will work out very well. But if the Cubs are lucky enough that two of those position player free agents out of the group of Mancini, Hosmer, Bellinger, Swanson, if two of those guys have really good seasons, the Cubs are going to be in the mix for a playoff spot. Like, that's – I'm taking Tyone out of that because I think already Tyone will – impact the rotation. I'm just saying, if two of those guys, if three of them do, they almost certainly will be in the playoff mix. Like, for instance, if Bellinger and Hosmer, or Bellinger and Mancini, in addition to Swanson, now you're talking perfect storm.
Are you talking? But about,
I'm just saying, like, two of them.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking
Dansby
about
being one other guy.
You're talking about most of the lineup having good seasons at that point.
Yeah,
is what you're looking at.
Cody Bellinger hit a home run in Cactus League. If Cody Bellinger is good, not great, good, you've greatly improved your team.
Do you think, and throw yourself in the mixer, do you think that Cub fans on the whole would far prefer to be the last playoff team in that loses convincingly versus finishing with 52 wins one more time and being in the position?
I think they value making the playoffs this year. I really do.
I think the
young players to see that this is what you have to do to win.
I mean, the way you look at it is they went through the one rebuild, and that led to great things, didn't last. Now they're in another rebuild. They've had all their heroes traded. They've gone through last season, which for a long time looked like it was going to be a 100-loss team, And I don't think Cubs fans can take another season of that. I don't think even 90 losses can't. Would be bad. Like, I think if this team isn't even 500, that'd be a bad thing. But that's, you know, that should be a game. I think this team should be an above 500 team. But a 500 team would be disappointing for Cubs fans. I think Cubs fans want to see them playing meaningful games deep into September. If they don't make the playoffs, that sucks for them, of course. But, like, I think Cubs fans will take solace in the fact that, like, hey, they were still in it, so, like, the third week or second week of September. And you build on that next year. But if you're really bad over the summer again, then people aren't going
to
be happy.
Ryan, I agree with you on that. I think back to 2015 where the Cubs were maybe a year ahead of their schedule.
Yeah.
And that just accelerated that rebuild to the point where they could contend and win a World Series.
Yeah.
If you get to that 90-win area and you make the playoffs, that's that big stepping stone. It gets you to that next level.
Of course.
Yeah, I feel like this team going in, the diehards are already buying into the process and the young guys coming. They'll be ready for this season. But if the Cubs can get off to a good start, you'll start bringing back all those people that went away for a couple years and just kind of mildly were interested in games, and they'll buy in, and that will be fuel to a team that sort of needs it right now. Hey, we were looking for fuel. We brought in Mark Harmon and his red jacket and his weird socks, but he brought the fire. We brought the fire. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday.
I hung out. It was great to be with y'all. I'm looking forward to getting back to Wrigley and re-acclimating myself.
Yeah, re-energizing yourself.
I've taken a while off.
Final seconds before we go.
Yeah.
True or false, you climbed over Eric Hosmer to get your barbecue and you were in there before he was.
I do think I got seated first. I honestly think that happened.
Unbelievable. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Have a great weekend. Corey and Brennan have a podcast for you coming up on Friday. Ryan Delmisso and I will be back on Monday at 1:20. Until then, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.